Yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Friday. It's finally Friday, Freedom Friday, the last Friday of the tyrannical, crazy Biden regime. Crazy like a fox, I suppose, the people behind Biden. The last Friday. Goodness. Goodness. I'm telling you. Wow. And today, of course, Biden declares what he just unanimously, unilaterally says, hey, you know what? ERA, law of the land. I said it. I mean it. ERA, Equal Rights Amendment. You're about 40 friggin' years too late, Biden. You don't have the power, Biden. No matter how, inside his head, there are two monkeys fighting for a banana. That's what I see when I see Biden. You got to be out of your flipping mind. And Biden, by the way, is burning, attempting to burn down this country on his way out of the door. It's Joe Biden. It's Joe Biden. It's Hunter Biden. It's the entire Biden crime family. It's the Soroses. It's the Clintons. It's the Obamas. It's the Merrick Garlands. It's all of these deep state pukes that are trying to destroy the country in the days ahead of President Trump being sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. And you know, as much as I know, that Biden and the deep state stole 46 from Donald Trump. You know that. You know that. Before I get started, I got, I'll tell you what. You come here. I'll take you out back. Let's see. Let's do push-ups. I'll challenge you to push-ups. You ready?
Who in the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is?
I think I'm me. That's who I think I am. I'll tell you what. That guy is, you know, if you cannot have, I don't believe you can dislike a regime as much as this. I don't think you can. I don't think you can identify any president in history that has done more to damage the Republic of the United States of America than this piece of crap and his crap family, grifting family. You could stack Wilson on top of Buchanan, on top of FDR, and you still wouldn't rise to the level of destruction by this idiot. And that goes as well for every single person involved with Biden, every single media outlet, every single journalist with a small J or with an O. I'm telling you right now, thank God this country is going to be rid of this piece of garbage. And you know, I'm angry on a Friday, and it's not good. It's not good. I'm angry. And I'm also angry because the very same people who are responsible for the selection, installation of Biden into that office where they could mold him like Gumby are the very same people who are taking away your ability to have a normal inauguration.
Sad.
Don, I'm with you. Before I get to Randy Taylor's joining me for the entire show, and I'm glad for that. Before I get to this show, I just want to tell you about staywarmnow.com. Staywarmnow.com. You know, Americans have we're expected to spend more money on heating bills this season than on holiday gifts. Okay, think about what you spent last Christmas, and then double that, and that's probably close to where you're going to be paying for electricity. Home heating is expected to increase by 8.7% to an average of $941 this winter. And you know something? I think we passed that. I think we have as a nation. Anyway, a forecast that beats the expected $902 the average household spends on Christmas gifts. Think about that. Think about that. That's just crazy. Which is why I use that portable device you see on your screen. It's a secret weapon that absolutely, I love how toasty warm it makes my office specifically. I plug it in. It blows underneath my desk and all around, and it really makes it nice and toasty. And it's without the extra heating costs. The device is portable, but it's powerful. It's a mini heater. It makes nearly any room warm and cozy in no time. It's compact enough to take anywhere, but strong enough to warm up my bedroom, my office, living room, or anywhere I need it, I want it, I gots to have it. It works. Plus, it includes built-in overheat protection and adjustable heat levels from, you know, just toasty warm to blast furnace. I'm making that up, of course. Do your wallet a favor and grab one. Up to 60% off this winter season only at staywarmnow.com. Plus, order today and you'll receive free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfactory guarantee, and several other bonuses. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com, staywarmnow.com. All right, aren't you glad the ERA is in play now? I mean, aren't you glad that we now, Biden said it, I believe it. Okay, yeah, the ERA, it's law of the land. Law of the land. But there's more. But there's more to get into besides that, obviously. Than the ramblings.
ERA.
Yeah. Equal Rights Amendment. 28th Amendment.
Not earn run average.
Man, I gotta educate you, boy.
Baseball came first.
Yeah, of course. Seriously, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, really, it's absolutely nuts. These people are out of their flipping minds. I mean, when I say these people, I'm talking about Biden and the people behind him. But anyway, we got a lot more important stuff to talk about. Yesterday, of course, we were talking about, folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you visit the link on there, the J6 link. To support the J6, people are being pardoned. Who we expect them to be pardoned, and that's going to be the litmus test of Donald Trump. Make sure he pardons the Patriots from January 6th. And these are people in jail. But yeah. That's true though. If you
talk about heading that way, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, there's still time according to the Biden regime. Okay. Yeah. In fact, somebody just got sentenced to 10 days today from J6.
They'll do it till the last possible minute.
Yeah, they will.
They will. Absolutely. They could knock on your door right now just to throw you in jail for Monday.
You know,
because they know where you're at. They don't know where I'm at.
No, that's true. Yeah, you're running around half the nation.
You always keep me on the move.
I'm telling you. But yeah, you're right. Who knows? Now, Merrick Garland left his office for the last time today. That's good to applause.
Yeah. But he's burning down the house. That's the part that just floors me. Smooth transition. My ass.
No, it's not a smooth transition. Not even close to a smooth transition.
Not even in the ballpark.
As a matter of fact, we have, okay, so here's how the program is laid out. We've got, let me just double check this because I didn't print this out. Silly me. All right, so we've got talk about the inauguration, and I think this is important that we focus on this. And then we have some information about specifically how Biden and his crew are really stifling. Did I put that in the show notes? Let me look here.
Stifling.
I don't know if you use the word stifling, but we get the idea.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, howdy. Good to see you tonight.
Yeah. Randy Taylor.
I even stopped in on Rumble and said hi, which I've never done. So, I can't answer everybody. So please don't expect me to. There's no way.
I can't even answer my wife.
I did stop in, and a big thank you to Danny. Danny knows what for. And yes, Doug made sure that it got to me.
Of course. So whatever it is, if it's merch.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you and bless you and your wife. With everything coming up, my wife says thank you.
And by the way, if anyone has anything directed to Randy Taylor, do not, because I may not get it. Okay. You've got to send it to or make it to Hagman Investigative Services and put Randy Taylor. Do not mention Randy Taylor.
Ever send it to me directly.
They return stuff.
Yeah. And because my name, I don't exist. Okay. Please keep it that way. And I don't need the tax problems. Doug takes care of me. If it shows up and it's got in the memo, says Randy Taylor, trust me, it makes its way to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
God bless you
when you do. But please, Hagman Investigative Services.
That's okay? Right.
And please, if you do it by PayPal, something drifts in by PayPal, all you got to do is shoot me an email and say, Randy, I did such and such. Shoot me a copy of the receipt. What do? I shoot it to Doug.
Or just put it, look, my wife handles all that. Just put it in the memo and I'll get it though.
Okay, because a lot of times the memo don't even show.
Well, we pay attention to notes on stuff. So, all right. So anyway, so here are a couple of things. I'm kind of trying to, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to go with the second. Eric, the tech, you must be going nuts. I'm looking at the show notes. How many video fours do I have here? We'll go with the second video four. We're going to start it out by how the show's going to fold out or unfold is this. We're going to kind of show you a little bit about how President Trump was on Bongino yesterday. He was telling, okay, this is how they're trying to stifle him. Stifle. New word. Squalor.
Great word.
Stifle President Trump on his way in. And again, burning the entire country down. That is the intent of Biden and Obama. And by the way, the Obama's trouble in paradise, perhaps, question mark, Big Mike, might be, obviously, you know. All right, so let's go to video four. Let me finish my thought about how it's going to unfold. So we're going to tell you about how he's burning the place down. Then we're going to talk about the inauguration. And in conjunction with the inauguration, there are threats out there. Folks, if you've listened to Alex Jones, if you listen to other places, there are threats to the inauguration. There's a 50,000. And I just caught this today. 50,000 are expected to protest the inauguration. Now, this was very quiet. All of the forums, everything was very quiet. And all of a sudden, last night, this morning, things started popping up. And it looks like there's going to be somewhere between 10 and 50. I'm thinking more 25 to 30,000 people in D.C. to protest the inauguration. So keep your eyes on that. But then there's
talk to go to the Capitol.
Yeah, they'll be invited. Oh, I don't even want to go there. Well, President Trump is going to be in the Capitol.
See how that works for him.
Well, that's where the inauguration is going to take place, in the rotunda.
Oh,
okay. And it's very interesting that, and fitting, isn't it, that he's going to take his oath of office in the very location that this so-called insurrection occurred, right?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But, all right. Yes. Folks, got to pay attention to the news. It changes rapidly. Okay. So, anyway, here is the second video. This is 4.1, Eric the Tech. Trump joins the show to drop massive truth bombs. I isolated this. This is about 4 minutes long, but it's worth every minute of it. About Biden burning down, not a smooth transition, and Biden trying to burn down the country. It starts at 25:57, as marked at video 4.1. Here it is.
Time. I'm just telling you, Joe Biden is going to do more stuff over the weekend. You can expect to see some EPA stuff. And yes, can Donald Trump overturn this stuff? The problem is, and I want you to listen to this clip coming up next. The left understands this one thing better than anyone. Ladies and gentlemen, process is punishment. The left gets that better than anyone. If they can create a laborious process for President Trump, where he's going to spend 6 months trying to undo Biden's stuff, then ladies and gentlemen, it's 6 months he can't spend doing his own stuff. The great Mike Benz put this clip out. This is a really powerful clip. I want you to watch it. It's not Benz. It's another commentator, but it's about exactly what Biden's doing right now. I see a bunch of commentators who have this all wrong. This guy nails it. They're like, oh, don't worry. Donald Trump's going to come in office and overturn this stuff. Yes, you are 100% correct. The problem is it's going to eat up all of our time. Biden is burning the house down on the way out. Listen to this. The process is punishment. This explains it perfectly. Check this out.
Heroes represent Musk, and he's come out and said, oh, it's a ticky-tack lawsuit. Shows they don't have anything against them and whatever. But the reason that you would want to file this suit is the same reason that Joe Biden is continuing to pass laws to try to Trump-proof democracy. The more Joe Biden does in the waning days of his administration through administrative agencies like SEC and stacks it up in front of Donald Trump, the more Donald Trump has to undo. The more Joe Biden does, the more Donald Trump has to undo. And eventually, in that curve of resources, political capital, and time, Donald Trump's going to run short. There's only so much he can do on day one or day 100 in his administration. And many of the things that Joe Biden has done, for instance, are Trump-proof. It's going to be very difficult for him to reverse 330 million acres being put into a wilderness preserve so it can't be drilled for oil or gas based on the way that law is written. Very smart. It's going to be very hard for Donald Trump immediately to undo giving people temporary protective status as immigrants. And it's going to be very hard for him to kill lawsuits like the one that was just filed against Musk. It will happen. The new SEC chair will withdraw this, but we want Trump to expend scarce political capital and look the American people in the eye and say, oh, I took that lawsuit away. I gave Musk a free ride, even though he's going to be the head of my Department of Government Efficiency. The show Conflicted Ethics, it helps in our politics to see Donald Trump have to make actual moves on a chessboard, all for the public to see. And that's why these cases being filed even so late, even on the last day or the last minute, are important.
I know that clip is long, but I want you to digest and tattoo on your brain every single second of what that gentleman just said. He's 100% correct. Everything Biden is doing out the door is designed to F you at the drive-thru, Leo Getz style. None of this is done because Biden cares about the country. Biden hates the country. Biden hates you. He hates himself. He hates his family. Biden walking out the door is taking out his internal rage at his, what does he have, small syndrome? I don't know. He's taking his rage out on you. He doesn't care about college sports, offshore drilling, the economy, your wallet, your job. Biden cares about burning the country down. He's pissed off that his party hates him. He's pissed off he's leaving office, the most discredited, unpopular president in American history. He's pissed off he's leaving office under a cloud of suspicion about his ties to China. He's pissed off he had to pardon his son because his son was involved in a whole bunch of crimes he was being investigated on. He's pissed off because he's a lying, plagiarizing, kid-sniffing loser. So as he walks out the door, he's burning the place to the ground.
There you go. End of story. Randy Taylor. I mean, look, I see comments. I don't like Dan Bongino. It's not about him. It's about the message. It's about what he's showing. I don't like so-and-so. The guy that was talking to us from Midas Touch, that leftist crap organization, I don't like him. But you better listen. Yeah, you better listen to what they're saying.
Don't shoot the messenger.
No. Screw it. I mean,
better listen to the message, because these two guys were spot on.
Yeah. And I don't care if you're like me or it don't matter. It's what, if we can bring truth to the table, that's all that matters. So anyway, that was that. And so think about 658 acres. There are 658 million acres?
Thousand.
Anyway, it's a whole boatload of acres, I'm telling you.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
if you've ever been down to Florida, Lake Toho, in Florida, Topolega, is 30,000 acres. Picture 20 of those lakes.
Wait a second. Weren't you fishing on that lake there, Eric the Tech?
Eric?
Yeah.
You should have said something, man. I could have showed you where the last hot spots were.
Lake Toho.
Toho. Topolega, yeah. Kissimmee, Florida.
Not that one.
No, that was too far north for you.
He was probably on Lake Kissimmee.
Yeah, would you fish in?
Where you? Small lake.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Closer to Mira-Lago.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's when we had bass fishing.
Bass fishing? Yes, that's
peacock.
Bass fishing.
So for people, we were down near Mar-a-Lago, okay, last year. Was it last year or this year? No, last year. In 24. What is this? Yeah. So, okay. And we spent like 5 days down there, Eric and stuff. And he picked one day to go fishing. That's the only day out of the five it rained.
Yes. But if you're on the right lake, the rain can be good.
I was soaking wet.
Oh, yeah. I felt bad for the guy.
You guys were near Lake Okeechobee. That's the big lake. It was close to where you guys were.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I try to get him to go down to Alligator Alley, but no, didn't. Yeah.
If I was down there with Eric, we would have been out on Okeechobee.
Okeechobee. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I like the name. Anyway, so, okay. And I want to thank, by the way, thank you all for joining me in the chat. Steelers mom, as always, God bless you. Real joy. I mean, all the time. I mean, God bless you folks. There was Rainbow Melon 11. Thank you for joining us. So many people, and I really appreciate that. And thanks for signing up to Rumble and following us on Rumble, because that does make a difference. Little by little, we're making a difference. Also, we are simulcasting, if you can believe this. Is that on X? Mm-hmm. Is that a word? Yeah, yep. Simulcasting. Yeah.
Thank you, people.
On X, can you believe that? Mm-hmm. Eric Tech did that. He did that.
Yeah. Can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
Is that the real Eric? Is that AI Eric?
No, this is a real Eric. I checked.
All right. We're good.
I probed him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, I got to get rid of this, I don't know, plug in my head, my nose, my oh, man. I polished off like 2 bottles of DayQuil today. Is that a good thing to do?
No. 2 bottles of Jaeger.
There you go. That'll clear your nose.
Oh, burning down the house.
I'll tell you what. All right. So we know that now. Also, burning down the house. Yeah. Oh, tight. So we know that Biden also pardoned or commuted sentences of 2,500, I believe, today. He's trying for the record. You know, he really is. Over Carter is 200,000. And these were all basically drug offenses.
Those are all people that his son owed money to. He's trying to clear the book for untapped.
Yeah, yeah. Those are all dealers for the Hunter's dealers, 2,500 of them. I believe that. And by the way, Hunter, did you hear this? Hunter Biden lost all of his paintings in the fire, and he had them insured for like $1 bazillion. I don't know how much, but millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Finger paints.
Why does he think that his stuff's worth millions of dollars?
Seriously, I mean, if I was the insurance claims investigator on that, I would be laughing my ass off at him and saying, you know, no, I just.
Burning down the house. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah. Yeah, can you believe that, folks? I mean, chat people, can you believe that? I mean,
this is a president who's accepted money from China. I believe anything.
Oh,
nothing surprises me. I don't get shocked about anything anymore. I just like, wow, another day in D.C. It's sad. The shock value is gone. We just go.
Oh, come, Lord, please. It's hello.
It's Tuesday. Oh.
Just another day, right? Oh, man.
Another day in paradise, baby. Political paradise.
And I was getting, you know, show prep took me so flipping long today because I was going through all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, I really want to tell people about Butler, okay, because Eric the Tech was instrumental in the investigation. Randy Taylor was instrumental. I was down there. We've all been escorted. Well, I don't know if Eric the Tech has, but I know Randy and I have been escorted out of Butler a couple of times. Escorted, you know.
It's not that they don't like us.
Yeah.
They just wanted to make sure that we safely got to city limits.
County line.
See,
there's a county line.
I'm just too fast. I push Doug over, push Randy over, and just go.
Yeah. it's nice. I mean, Eric the Tech guy, I don't have to outrun them. I just have to outrun you guys.
Yeah, that's it, the buddy system.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I do want to touch on that too today. I was going to, you know what, RT, I was going to put together some of the, there's some still unclassified, and we're going to be touching on Butler. Okay. There's some unclassified stuff or classified information that has not been released. Screw it.
You're going to hear it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, they can lock us up till Monday.
Yeah. Because, and here's why the discussion of Butler and Randy Taylor kind of inspired me about this, because we are talking about the threats to President Trump, and the very same threats to President Trump exist today as they did in Butler, as they did in West Palm at the golf course at Trump International, and the very same components. Okay, that are behind the patsies, behind the all of this crap, are the very same people who are threatening President Trump today. And RT knows it, and we know it, and we've got some of the information. And you know, here's the thing, too. Okay, I've got no, we don't have any direct line to President Trump. We really don't. We have an indirect. I mean, if something really, 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 really important, it eventually gets to him, okay? Like this, that was like a one-off, all right? So I can't pick up the phone and contact, you know, somebody like Don Jr. or something. Say, hey, Don, you know, what you doing? But we can certainly make a contact to somebody who can contact him, but only if it's like extremely important, all right? And that hasn't happened since September. Anyway, all right, so there's that. So you heard about burning down the house. Now, what about this weekend? Let's see here. Oh, before we go into that, we're going to go to cut six, and you can find all of the show prep, folks, at HagmanPI.com. And I was doing an article about before I get to this, RT, did you hear about Immaculate Constellation? Have you guys heard about this? The paper? This is back in November now. Immaculate Constellation?
No.
I was putting this up on HagmanPI.com. It's a 12-page document that was introduced by Nancy Mace back in November in the oversight. I think it's the Committee on Oversight. Anyway, it's about UFOs and UAPs, and the reason I thought it was so important is because of the threat from the skies. And anyway, bottom line was, I started that putting that up, and somehow I got, you know, just like I got ADD or something. I'm off cooking supper. No, I'm not. I just the reason I mention that is because, folks, keep your eyes on Hagmann PI. That's all I want to say. But, okay, having said all of that, I guess that DayQuil has some stuff in it, doesn't it? I used a straw and just, you know. Okay, so it doesn't do anything for my congestion, but it's certainly, it's got some focus factor in there. All right.
Jaeger.
I just, no. I, you know, I don't like that. Boy. Anyway, I tasted it once. And, I mean, so Hagmann PI, click on the title for this show. Open up the thing and you'll find all this stuff there. Tucker Carlson talks about Ukrainian biolabs and Biden regime being involved. Okay, this is something, too, that's going to be coming up. In addition to what President Trump was saying with Bongino and about how they're screwing the pooch for President Trump, this is another thing that no one wants out. And this became evident, too, as I was watching the... did you watch the hearing for DHS Secretary Kristi Noem? Did you watch that?
No, I was tied up medical stuff.
All right. Yeah. It was what you'd expect. I'm just saying, no fun there. Okay, so, but pay attention to this. This is cut six. This is about Ukraine biolabs and Biden being involved in this. Tucker Carlson, again, I don't care if you like him. Listen to the information. Here it is.
Hold on.
All right. Come on now.
This is video four? No.
Video six, here it is.
This is video 666. Oh, my goodness.
You know, the thing that people don't in this country understand is that the Ukrainian military is selling about half of the arms they get from the United States into international black markets. And they're winding up, in some cases, with the drug cartels in Latin America. That's a fact. Okay, it's a fact. And you can buy them. And I spoke to someone who did buy some, actually. So I know this is a fact. And they're bragging about it. So they're selling conventional weapons, including weapon systems that are very dangerous and very destabilizing that would make commercial air travel impossible, for example. And so what are they doing with the pathogens in those biolabs? And does the Biden administration have a manifest? Do they know exactly what's in those labs? And will they turn it over to the Trump administration so we can keep track of these things? And the answer is no, actually. The answer is no. I know this.
Wow.
So that's like the scariest thing that's ever happened. I think the Ukraine war has the potential to destabilize the world more than anything that's happened in my lifetime. What the hell? That's why I'm saying this right now, because I hope this is widely disseminated, because I think it's like the scariest thing I've heard in a long, long time. Mm.
So isn't that true? I mean, RT, it's the scariest thing that we've heard in our lifetime. I think that's true.
Especially the Ukraine, because it's all garbage to begin with.
Yeah.
They're nothing but criminals there. And they're turning around selling them what we're giving them. They're turning around and selling. I mean, come on. If I found out those biolabs are out there and they won't tell me what's in there, I'll blow it. I'd blow it in place and I'd just get rid of everybody in Ukraine. I'm so tired of Ukraine.
I agree, brother. And I'm tired of the people that have Ukrainian stuff in their bios on media, social media. I'm tired of
stick that flag right up your butt.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm getting, you know, look, I'm also getting tired of this dual stuff with Israel. If you are in Congress, you better have one allegiance, and that's to the United States of America. That's it, period. I don't care. No one else. Now, you can be a friend to, okay, Israel. You can be a friend to whoever, but your whole this is to the U.S.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I'll bet you half them asshats can't even recite that.
Well, Kamala Harris,
gibbity nonsense.
Yeah, Joe, Kamala screwed it up recently. I don't know whether you saw that.
It used to be that 6-year-old kids knew it.
Yeah.
Every day in class, we pledged allegiance to our flag. You turned, you faced the flag, and you did it. There was no, I didn't want to do it. There was none of that.
Nope.
You didn't want to do it. Your ass would have been out of the classroom, down to the principal's office.
That's right.
We used to give a damn about our country, and we sold out our country. Look at just look around. Anytime you see a political picture or anything, look in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Our country is in, and Canada, same thing. This is not just the U.S. This entire, I'm tired of this U.N. immigration crap. I am done. Get them out of here. I want them gone.
No, I
get them the hell out of here. And you can take that one too.
Freaky Friday. I love it.
They have so disgraced our country.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact,
I'm really concerned with what could happen before. I'm not talking about just in D.C. I'm talking about nationwide, what could happen going up to Monday and on Monday. Well, I am really concerned.
We have some insight for you on this because, again, your communications today had given me some cause to look some things up here, and I think we should get right into it. But okay, so all right. So what's going to happen on Monday, and what's happening this weekend? Right now, this weekend, the mayor of D.C. is being real putz, creating these memorandum of understandings with other police agencies. If you want to come and help volunteer your time, you're going to do it this way and only this way. And it really puts the police at a disadvantage. I'm not going to play all the stuff going into that, but you get the idea, right? So page one, local, and you can put this up, Eric, the tech, page one in the show notes, local police are refusing to help secure President Trump's inauguration. All right. Now, this is from the Gateway Pundit. And multiple police agencies from areas around D.C., I'm talking about like in Virginia, Maryland, and other places, are saying, no, we're not going to help. The Gateway Pundit reported that President Trump announced the ceremony would be held inside the Capitol Rotunda, citing cold weather. Oh, more on that later this show. However, there's also been concerns about Trump's safety following two recent assassination attempts. You friggin' think? Mm-hmm. That's my opining, not from the Gateway Pundit. Anyway.
I would be concerned about police forces not wanting to attend. I'm also starting to get concerned about high-ranking Democrats.
Okay, we're going to get into that. That's right.
If people start not showing up, that tells me something's coming, and they don't want to get killed.
Well, you have George W., you know, the Wiener Bush, not showing up. You've got Obama's deciding not to show up, contrary to, you know, customary stuff. Mm-hmm. You've got Pelosi.
I know Big Mike wasn't coming, but I didn't know that Obama decided not to. They need to be real.
God bless you.
Big Mike's laying some pipe.
I wish we could get down there and look around.
But you know what? I got your calm on that. Here's the thing. A man must know his limitations, I believe. What the hell? It'd be you and me going, hey, over here. Hey, over here. And people, you know.
No. I wouldn't even go down there if I didn't have communications already set up. I would have to be invited. I'm not talking about running around waving and making an ass out of myself.
But Dan, see, here's the thing, too. You think about this. Dan Bongino, like him or don't like him, he has the experience in the presidential protection detail, right? Was he asked for anything? Like his insight into restructuring the Secret Service?
No, I get it. I guarantee if this was 2005.
Yeah?
I guarantee if it was 2005, 2006, I would have already been asked, and I would be in Washington, D.C., by invitation.
You're probably right. I'm thinking back to 05, 06 and given that.
I got invited to a New Year's celebration.
Yes, I know.
So, not to
watch the ball drop either.
No, not at all. But they wanted the insight because I had discovered the cameras on Times Square.
Right.
And they were horribly concerned that the place was going to the, you know, they literally were nuclear concerned.
Yes. And
that's how crazy that was. And I guarantee if this was 2005, 2006, I guarantee we'd get Doug and I'd be invited down there. I know they'd invite me, and I definitely would take Doug and Eric with me.
Absolutely. And I was down at Disney World in 06, and the state that there's a city underneath that would be an understatement.
Yeah, it's definitely a city out there. And I used to know security guys that worked there.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And a gentleman that worked for me, his uncle also verified in person, sitting in front of my desk, what was going on. He used to give me a ticket, or not tickets. All I had to do was go to the gate, say his name.
Yeah,
and the family went no charge at all.
I think you did that for me for my family. I had some stuff to do, and they went to Disney World that one day. Excuse me while I
because he was really cool like that. He's like, hey, just go. He goes, I'll let them know.
Yeah,
how many people? Just give them my name. If they have any questions, they're going to call me anyway. So, but he was really cool. And God, we went to Disney all the time.
Man, I'll tell you what,
all three parks.
I've been down in front of that park probably 12 times. I've never been inside. So anyway,
you and I would enjoy Epcot Center. That's what you and I would enjoy.
I'm not sure. I got enough of Epcot my house, but anyway,
no. That's the Magic Castle.
The Magic Castle is right.
I would love to, you know what? I'd love to go. I would love to go with Eric and his kids. That would be fun.
Yeah, but there's people there.
So yeah, I know, but it would be a blast.
I don't like people. Well, we'll have
DC has got me mega concerned.
Well, okay. So the problem with this is the memorandum of understandings issued by the DC police to potential assistant, those who would assist them, are pretty oppressive, and they don't make any sense. I'm just kind of giving you the bottom line. Video one here. DC police implement new policies ahead of Trump inauguration. Go ahead and watch this. This isn't long, but it does explain that article that you saw. Okay. And I think it might be part of the article, but this is important. So why are police from Tennessee coming over to D.C.? Well, because the people closer, the police closer, aren't cool with the MOUs. Okay, so anyway, this will explain it. Hopefully, this is video one.
January 2017, this was the scene just 2 miles away from President Trump's inauguration. DC police used chemical sprays as they rounded up and arrested more than 200 people that day. More than 100 later sued the district, saying they were peacefully protesting or observing and were detained for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The people suing also alleged they were handcuffed so tightly they lost feeling in their hands and they didn't get access to food, water, or bathrooms for hours. Prosecutors later dropped...
Pause that for a second. Who gives a shit?
I'm getting all choked up.
Yeah, it just, I'm all choked up.
Remember Clint Eastwood? Freaking A.
Yeah, and okay, so not one of these people in the 2016 or 2017 inauguration were arrested. Not one. I have tape somewhere of the cars burning, the windows broken and stuff, and they're bitching about, oh man, my wrists hurt.
If they had red MAGA hats on, they'd all be in jail.
Yeah, but none were charged. Nope. Go ahead and continue this madness.
Dropped nearly all of the charges. The ACLU helped file one of the two lawsuits, both of which the district settled for $1.6 million.
Unfortunately, over the years, many counter-inaugural demonstrations have been met with excessive force and other unconstitutional actions by the D.C. police.
As part of the settlement in 2021, D.C. government agreed to make changes to police policies on mass arrests, including giving people wristbands with ID numbers, taking a picture of the person and the officer arresting them. When possible, having three officers when a person is being searched, reducing delays in transport to the booking facility, and making sure people have access to restrooms and water.
It is critical that our law enforcement lead by example in upholding and respecting demonstrators' First Amendment rights.
D.C. police also agreed in the settlement to restrict use of sting balls or explosive devices in the future. Police are now only supposed to roll them on the ground, not throw them in the air, except in extreme circumstances. This week, D.C. Police Chief Pamela Smith spoke about how her agency is
comments.
I would definitely want to throw them.
Preparing for Monday.
We know.
Wait. Pause that. Eric the Tech, comment about what?
This, oh, this lady.
Wait, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
This lady.
Oh. Well, she seems nice. I mean, she checks all the boxes, right? She's black.
Yeah.
She
looks like a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's probably a lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A bulldog.
Well, what else do you need? I mean, really?
It looks like Jack Smith standing behind her. Doesn't that look like Jack Smith?
If I squint. Yeah. 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 But,
I feel sorry for anybody that looks like Jack Smith nowadays.
The best thing he could do is shave off his beard, shave his hair.
Shave his head, wear a wig or something. Because I'll tell you what, he's got a grim future on the street.
You know, Jack Smith, But Eric the Tech, to your question, comments, all the boxes are checked. Go ahead and finish this up.
Able to rise to the challenge because we've done it before.
D.C. police have dealt with numerous protests and mass arrests in recent years. In 2020, officers arrested more than 100 racial justice protesters on Swan Street for violating curfew. Seven people arrested later sued. An internal affairs investigation found officers did not use excessive force. And as we look ahead to Monday, Chief Smith says her agency's stance is this.
Violence, destruction, and unlawful behavior will not be tolerated. Offenders will face swift and decisive consequences.
And the ACLU tells me it sent letters this week to D.C. police and other agencies reminding them of those lawsuits and the resulting changes to the mass arrest policy.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm really impressed, Doug.
I knew you would
be. I just can't tell you how impressed I am. It must be because she sat down the DEI paperwork for a little while and assessed the situation.
Yeah.
You're so full of crap.
I'll tell you something. It's, I don't know. Burning down
the house. And that's exactly what Biden's doing. He's burning down the house.
Exactly.
This weekend, man, is going to be crazy. I just got a bad feeling, man.
You have a bad feeling? Others do, too. How about Ivan Raiklin, retired Green Beret, Lieutenant Colonel. Okay, this is cut two in the show notes. Are the inauguration threats so serious we can't say for sure? Question mark. And, of course, the reason for moving the ceremonies inside, according to the people in charge, is because of the weather. Last time was in 1985 with Ronald Reagan. Okay, so hold that thought for a second. Today, you've got 220,000 people who have purchased tickets or made other... There's 220,000 people scheduled or are already in D.C., right now. Pardon my Biden moment there for a minute. So anyway, okay. The, what is that? The Coliseum, the whatever the Washington place where the party's going to be held only holds 20,000. So now you're down to about 200,000 people who are left with what? Where do we go? Do we stay in our hotel room? You ever been in a DC hotel room? It's like a closet.
I mean, how bad?
And TVs are like this big, you know? So you're there. Maybe you traveled from out west by coach and buggy. Who knows?
We should run a camper and go.
I call shotgun. Mossberg. Okay. Anyway, so imagine moving everything indoors and not having enough space for 95% of the people who are going to be there. That's a problem. And you're doing it because of weather? Hey, you going somewhere? Hello. Randy Taylor just left the building.
He gone.
He's gone. All right. Nothing like live, right? All right, so.
Maybe he's burning down the house.
You burned down the house or what? I mean, you left the building. You left me. What? Am I boring you? I can't hear you. Yeah, look around.
I had a power issue.
Oh, okay.
The computer was going to shut down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've done that myself. All right. So here's retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin. Folks, you having fun in the chat? I mean, listeners and viewers, you having fun? I mean, it's Friday. You got to have fun. The last Friday of the Biden regime, the Biden crime family.
And you're spending it with us, man.
And you're spending it with us. What the hell are you thinking?
It's a party. We are a party.
And rumor has it.
Buying hordes of toilet paper.
Yes. You know, hordes of, that's right. I got to get to the store. Got to get stocked up on toilet paper. And I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Walgreens and bust the plastic things and take everything off. All right. So anyway, here's Ivan. I'm sorry. Here's Ivan. Again, that DayQuil is powerful stuff. It's got the red dye 3 and 40 and 56 and 50.
All the stuff they're going to outlaw.
Right. Okay. So this is cut two in the show notes. And seriously, now we have to turn really serious because I'll tell you something. We have something going on. You've got 30,000. How many? I'll let the videos do the talking here. Here's cut two.
So it was a big snowstorm, very cold that day, and so that was not an issue with weather. Barack Obama got sworn in, I believe, at 25 degrees in 2009. So the weather cover story is cute, but here's the real question, Ivan. To show the world, do we have the ability to protect the president of the United States as he gets sworn in, or do we not? Or are the threats really so serious that we can't say for sure?
So here's the circumstance. I mean, we've already seen a couple of assassination attempts on President Trump. And
we have.
When individuals such as the Bush, the Cheneys, the Obamas, etc., are saying publicly, we're not going to attend the inauguration, to me, there's something a little bit more there than meets the eye, right? And so my spidey senses tell me they're trying to avoid a potential catastrophic event. Keep in mind, it was Obama's very own CIA director, John Brennan, that was the one behind ordering the drone strike that ended up murdering a U.S. citizen abroad. So they already have the propensity to be threats to our domestic constitutional order. There's nothing really that's off the table for them to go ahead and continue to try these assassination attempts. I mean, we've already gotten past the point of political violence. We've already seen that. And hopefully our institutions are going to be able to protect from anything of that nature, because at the end of the day, you even have a prominent member of Congress. I call him Jamie Civil War Conditions Raskin. This is his words that he's kind of wanting civil war conditions. Now, he wasn't able to do it on January 6th, but what's to say that they don't continue to pursue a strategy that's going to put our country into chaos? Because they've already done that for 4 years, whether it's the Biden criminal syndicate making money hand over fist over their policies that benefit China. And so I suspect that they're going to continue to try to retain power and mitigate accountability to themselves. And one fast way to do that is to continue to weaken and maybe potentially, you know, God forbid, I pray that this does not happen. I suspect that they're going to try to do anything and everything to try to keep President Trump from office. We're still
They're going to try to do anything and everything to try to keep President Trump from office.
Let's say they hit that building with missiles. They collapse that building. It would kill 20,000 Trump supporters. It would kill all his appointees. Yep. It would kill the Supreme Court justices. What a disaster.
Yes.
This is, we got problems, man. And that right there, that gentleman knows what he's talking about.
Yes.
He just laid out.
He might look like a garden gnome, but I'll tell you what, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And he just laid out something horrible.
Oh, it gets worse. Don't worry. We're going to rain on your parade a little bit more. Is DC secure? That's the question. Now, I think this clip has, let me just double check this. I think this is the one, Randy Taylor, that's got all the, I'm pretty sure it's got all of the stats in here with respect to the military, National Guard, police, and lines of defense.
I would have anti-missile stuff on the roof. I would have anti-missile stuff everywhere.
I would
be ready for anything.
I mean, with what we've seen so far, look, I know the hand of God. I know God is in control. Folks, please, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't we have to do our part too?
And Doug, what did we always say and what have I always said, right? Our part, he will not do. His part, we cannot do.
That's right.
And that's solid advice.
Look, just because you have faith doesn't mean you should tempt that faith by, you know, standing in front of or standing on Interstate 4, you know, at rush hour, mm-hmm. or trying to cross it and thinking everything's cool. Well, at rush hour, it wouldn't matter because everything stopped. So
it's the old joke about the two boats and a helicopter to the guy that was drowning.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Why didn't you say, well, I waited.
Yeah. Yeah. But, Lord, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me.
Yeah.
And God looks at him and says, what'd you want? I sent you two boats and a helicopter.
I'm telling you. But but now I think people, the one thing, I don't have anything to back this up. I don't have any contacts. I've got contacts who have contacts who have contacts, but I don't have contacts. But the stuff I'm hearing is a little bit disconcerting from even the third person removed from the people that know what's going on. And when I get rumblings from those people, you know, sometimes I think, okay, they're exaggerated from point A to point C. There's some exaggeration, and perhaps there is. But this, when you have open source, in addition, and people who have better contacts than most, saying, wait a second, there's a problem here. Well, this is cut three, HagmanPI.com. Go there and bookmark that website and open, just click on the title and you'll see all the links and you can watch the entire things in there. They watch
And remember, Doug, you remember how they killed the Chechen president?
Oh.
Many, many, many years ago when they had the explosives already planted underneath the platform that he was going to be on. You remember that?
100%.
That's how when the Boston bombs went off and my phone rang, It was NYPD intel. The first thing out of my mouth was, I said, you're looking for check-ins.
And
they were like, what? And I said, no. They placed the explosives on the ground. I said, this is, you're looking for check-ins. And it turned out I was right.
Well, but the reason you were correct was because of the research that had gone into, I mean, I don't know how many days, not hours, but days of research you had gone in to the threat assessment prior to that event. But you knew, you were looking for, I recall this, you were looking for something, you grabbed onto something in a forum, I believe it was, and the separatists, it came up, and then you followed that lead, and I think you had submitted something prior to that. I'm not.
They weren't listening. They had their own people on the ground, and they figured they had everything covered.
Yeah, we got it. Don't worry about it.
Turns out they didn't.
Man, I'll tell you what. If you know, we could. Well, you, but we could do a book on just the missed opportunities by these fruitcakes.
We tell some stories that would get people pretty upset and raise some eyebrows. Probably could open some investigations if it wasn't so old.
Well, murder's got no statute.
Conspiracy to commit.
Yes, yes. And I'm telling you right now, there are some very serious threats out there. And you know, you've got helicopters looking for dirty material in D.C. That, that would happen regardless, but now with the urgency that they're showing, that's a little disconcerting. We'll go ahead start at one.
They've gotten a whiff of something.
Yes,
and let's just hope it's not a distraction. Let's hope that they're not looking in the wrong place.
Well, and the threat from the air is very troubling. And also, remember, what was it, 600,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate or the fertilizer missing from the train. It started out, I don't know, in out somewhere out west and went to the middle of the country. By the time it got there, there was
whatever, 600,000. Don't sound familiar?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, tractor trailer missing, driver missing.
And I still, by the way, and folks, you got to understand this, back when we had the website homosecurityus.com, we posted a video of an explosion. this is what a good friend Randy Taylor is. Here, post this. I just found this. Post this on the website.
And we couldn't get anybody to listen at that point.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, why not? I'll post it. Man, that thing wasn't up there for 5 minutes. My phone is ringing. I got the FBI. I've been here. I learned new curse words, man.
Yeah, in fact, the agent in charge is the one that called you. He's like, the hell do you people think you're done? What have you done to me? My
Get
phone
that
is ringing
thing
off the
down! Oh, oh yeah, my God. Oh, my goodness.
He flipped.
So,
but we got response.
Yes. Holy cow. I mean, I felt like I was, you know, I said, no, it's Randy Taylor. Don't blame me.
And no,
I dropped the dime on you. But, this is the kind of stuff. And also when they were using the, I think it was the State of Arkansas servers.
Oh.
When we went public with that,
it was a famous website. I'll tell you what, your website, NEIN, it was, everybody, it was, I'll tell you what, we pounded some visitors through that thing.
Yeah. Until we got kicked off by GoDaddy and then, I wonder how that happened. Okay. So getting back to DC being secure, start at 103 on this and pay attention to what is being said here. This is cut 3 in the show notes.
We've traveled here to D.C. Over 250,000 tickets have been given out or will be given out to people coming to witness it in person. You know, and I know that you guys are talking about this during the show and the threats that the president faces right now. I think it's a smart idea to move it indoors, being it's about the weather, it's about public safety, but it sure is disappointing because I was watching a lot of people online post up videos about how disappointed they are. They travel from all over the country to get here, and they're walking around the National Mall that's just over to my left, and they're wondering, like, what do we do? I mean, the capacity of the Capital One Arena is only 20,000. That's if they filled up, you know, every seat. Well, granted, the way usually the way a rally is configured, I call it if it was a UFC style configuration where it's in the middle, you build the crowd around it, you can put the maximum amount of people. But there's a lot of patriots in this town that just don't know where to go on inauguration day. But I think that the President Trump and his inauguration team, they're doing what's in the best interest of the president and the people, and so we have to respect that decision. But Bo, for someone who has been covering Trump for so long, it is a little, I feel for MAGA out there that feels like they're not going to get that traditional inauguration that they were expecting come Monday.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, that is the question. What will all of those people do? Like, do you anticipate that they'll have something outside? They'll have screens that people can watch if they wanted to?
I would think so, but here's the premise, though. If they cancel the inauguration because of weather concerns for everyone, then why would they still hold any type of viewing out in the conditions if they were concerned about the weather? Now, they are going to, you know, hold the broadcast of ceremony inside the Capital One Arena on Monday, and that's after. But why would you put up video screens at the mall and invite people to gather in a condition that you deem is not safe for people, weather-wise, too cold? I don't see them doing that, to be honest with you. It would be counter what they've said their concerns were for the inauguration itself. So I think you're going to see a lot of disappointed people. But look, at the end of the day, we love President Trump. We want him to be safe. We want the people to be safe. And we just got to basically, move with that in mind. I've been looking down at, you're starting to see a lot of people coming to town with MAGA hats, and you see people walking around. It's got that energy, Bo, that people are, they're coming to something big. And a lot of people just found out about it.
But they had no idea. I think, Brian, that the person that's the most disappointed is Donald Trump himself. This is a man who thrives off of people's energy. You think about 250,000 people being there, and I know it disappoints him as well. I don't know how it alters the program. And Tara and I were just talking about, Carrie Underwood performing, and what does that do? Can you do it in the rotunda because it's a sensitive environment? All those things come into play, but you've got 250,000 people that, what, are going to sit in their, a very expensive hotel room watching it on a screen as small as the one I'm looking at right now?
Probably.
And, it's sad in that regard, because there's such a historic occasion,
Well, maybe they take all of those ceremonies and they move it to Capital One. So Carrie Underwood would perform everything remotely at the Capital One Arena and just have the actual swearing-in ceremony in the rotunda. Now, I had someone suggest, why not do it on the in the House chamber? Because that is a spot that you can put everyone in Congress and everyone in the Senate and their in special invited guests as well. Do it like you would do it a State of the Union. Put it inside there, right, the building right there. Put it inside that facility. You could put everyone of special guests that you have and everybody that's elected members of Congress and the Senate in there. The rotunda, you can't. You can't. It's, for one thing, it's the audio in the rotunda is ridiculous. Yeah. So if you get any more than 10 people talking, you can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. I suggest putting it in the Capitol, put it on the Capitol floor, and then just simultaneously broadcast all the other stuff from Capital One Arena. At least you'd have the performances, you'd have the pageantry, you'd have everything that people expected. You would just have in a climate-controlled area. But at the end of the day, and I hate to say this, I'm not buying that this is 100% weather. I'm just not. I've seen President Trump do a speech in far worse conditions than what we'll have on Monday.
And there it is. And you know what, RT, and I'm going to give it to you. It's not about, well, I'll tell you what it is about in my view. Our lifestyles have been impacted by this dark machinery of the deep state that we are forced for our very survival to change what we've been doing for the last 250 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about. Just as you were forced, well, you didn't have to comply, but we're, you know, wearing masks or getting the jab, they're forcing us to do something that is contrary to the very fabric of our republic.
Yeah, it goes against the grain.
Yes. And this, to me, is the real issue.
That what he just says, a smart idea is to move everybody into the chamber.
Yes.
Let Trump do his thing there, and then all this Coliseum entertainment and all that, go do it in the whatever it is, whatever building, the Capitol Arena, whatever it is.
But in my view, he should.
And Congress needs to be there. Left, too.
I agree with that.
Thinks about that.
I believe he should be sworn in now. Now. Now, it doesn't mean he's president. Swear him in now and get that out of the way to assure that things that, hey, whatever happens.
Yeah, this all transpires Monday. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good idea. He may even do that. Maybe he'll do it tomorrow and we don't even know.
It could be private.
I personally think they listen to the show. So, all right, swear him in tomorrow, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it tomorrow, do it Sunday, but just do it ahead of time and have that mechanism of leadership already in place. Yep. Because, again, it doesn't matter what day you're sworn in. It matters when he takes over, and that's at 12:01 on the 20th. Yep. There it is. All right. But see, other people are thinking the same. This is not about the weather. This is about threats.
Yeah. This isn't a weather thing at all. I don't buy that for a second. I think that they've got some real credible threats.
Yeah.
And the thing you have to be careful with credible threats is credible threats can be made to move people to where they want. A lot of things are at play here. This is very fluid.
Yeah, very much. Well, Glenn Beck weighed in on this today. This is a 2-minute clip. And again, people are starting to pay attention. Wait a second, something's wrong. And let's hear what Glenn Beck's got to say. This is cut 4 in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. 2 ends on Hagman, by the way. And it's 2 minutes, cut 4. Go ahead.
Honestly, I think this is why they're moving the inauguration and all of the people that were going to Washington to stand out in the cold to witness it inside. One, they're moving all of the dignitaries inside the Capitol, where it will be a private event. And then the one of the stadiums there inside, they're moving all of the people and asking people, don't show up at the Capitol, show up in this arena. I think it's because these guys are under such threat, because this is Jason Bourne stuff. Look at, they're changing the power structure in everything. Do you know how much money is going to be lost because of Donald Trump? Do you know how much power is going to be lost because of Donald Trump and all of his surrogates? I will tell you, it could be because it's cold. It's going to be 25 degrees in Washington, D.C. on Monday. Doesn't everybody know that?
That's not that cold.
That's what jackets are for.
I've seen inaugural addresses out in the cold, you know, with people bundled up. I mean, they don't cancel the Macy's Day Parade. Everybody knows it's going to be cold. And if it's too cold for you, you don't go. It could be just because Donald Trump knows what the media would do if somebody had frostbite. But does that make sense to you that they're moving it because of the cold? Donald Trump, and I'm going to cover this on Monday as we at Blaze TV have our complete inaugural coverage beginning at 11 a.m. on Blaze TV on Monday. I will tell you, he's hired his own private security company, and he's not leaving it to the Secret Service. Is it to keep people safe from the weather or just to keep people safe? One way or another, I'm glad that they're going to be safe.
Well, RT, you suggested that a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yep. Okay. Hey, we'll do it. I mean, that's fine.
Listen, people go skiing.
Yep.
New Year's Eve. How many wind chill below zero have we seen New Year's Eve? And there's millions of people out there.
Oh, yeah.
No. No, there's something else at play here. It's not the weather.
You know, you sent me, was it a pastor?
Yeah.
Anyway, a pastor's prophetic
vision.
Yeah. About dump trucks and explosives and such. And the same pastor that predicted or prophesized about the shooting of President Trump. And I'm not... It's not that I'm a... I don't pay attention to that. To me, that's like an anecdotal thing. But, hey, anything's possible, you know?
It's just another opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that something is amiss, and it's not going to be a normal inauguration.
No, I don't think it will. And folks in the chat, how do I even ask this question? Do you think there's going to be something that'll happen that'll be a significant attack on Monday, or do you? Because here's my thinking. It's going to be the most guarded event in the history, I think, of the U.S. Why hit them then? Why not wait a day, a two, or three, or four?
It's hard to say, just so you can't change a single thing. I could see that. You know, there could have been construction done way back when this last year, and because we sat here and questioned the election. We've questioned how fast the election was turned over to Donald Trump on the 5th.
True.
We questioned a lot of things here. You know, this could have been put in motion last summer. We know that I've seen videos of construction crews working at the Capitol and working in the House of Representatives in that building, the Capitol building. So, Doug, anything could be at play here. Anything could be at play. You know what I mean? Because just,
yeah.
I mean, if they wanted to kill him, trust me, come on, they were trying to kill him back in Butler. You know?
Yeah, and even before that, you got to go back to 16.
Yeah. So, and if they fail, then you know they're going to put something else in play and they're going to have backup plans and everything else. We look at Butler. Remember, the kid on the roof didn't wing his ear, someone else did. There's still a network out there. The kid didn't shoot Trump. That's not the direction it came from.
Okay. You and I have, we agree on like 99% of everything. I'm not so sure I can be as definitive as you with respect to that.
I do, just because overhead view. And when he was turned and he was looking at that magnetron, if the kid had fired when he was turned to look at the magnetron, it would have entered his left eye.
Possibly, but now don't forget, Crooks was at the 3 o'clock at Donald Trump's 3 o'clock position. When Donald Trump moved his head, it created a void.
I'm gonna say 3 o'clock. I'm going to say more at 2 o'clock. I won't go with 3 o'clock. I'll go with 2. But, okay, we're going to differ on that.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is the next...
Remember, Secret Service adjusted. They went from Crooks. You watched them adjust on the roof.
Yes.
And head aimed back for those woods by the water tower. There was another shooter out there.
Okay. Now, I'll just...
And we heard additional shots.
In fact, okay. In preparation of this next segment here, and this is important stuff. Sean Davis, by the way, Tucker Carlson was interviewing Sean Davis, the journalist, about about Butler today. It dropped today. The interview dropped. The title of that show is Trump Shooting Update and the Real Reason Congress Refuses to Investigate. And it's an hour and 30 minutes long. So I watched it and I was surprised at the information he did not have. How he could not have some of the information.
Was it just like real basic stuff?
Yes. Now, he had certain information that wasn't real basic that a lot of people don't really know. I mean, we know, but a lot of people don't know. So I watched the entire episode, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, what's the most important part of things? Well, he starts out by giving three or four different scenarios about Butler itself. And he makes sense here. And this is cut A of video 5. This is Sean Davis now talking with Tucker Carlson about what happened at Butler. And the first part is, okay, here are the possibilities. And I'm okay with this. And then it gradually gets a little bit weirder and weirder and weirder. Okay, so you folks, watch the entire 90 minutes, okay, because it's worth it. But also, and Eric the Tech, for the purpose, for this purpose, you know where the unredacted, do you know where, I mean, I could tell you, but do you know where the unredacted after action report might be? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but just send it to me.
All right. You folks have got to see this. I'm not sure if this is out in the public domain or not. If it is, okay. If it's not, whoops.
All right. It is now.
It will be. All right. This is cut A, Sean Davis talking about Butler. And the reason I put this in there, and we talked about this, is because all of the elements that existed at Butler exist today with the inauguration. People, you know, I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to say, be careful who you listen to about Butler. That's all. Just be careful. And if you want to believe something, go ahead and believe it. We know, but all right, let's go to cut A here on the video 5. Here's Sean Davis with Tucker.
I kind of look at it as three big questions. Who was the shooter?
Yes.
Everything that kind of puts him together. How did they let it happen? That whole process. And then what happened to everyone who let it happen? And then within that, like the framework I have, trying to figure out, you know, what exactly happened is you can look at it as like option one, just a total snafu across the board. Everyone failed. Accidents happen. Guy manages to get up there. It's exactly what it looks like. So that's option one. And then you've got option two, which is kind of what I would call strategic incompetence. So you have DHS, which runs Secret Service, and the Secret Service is a soup sandwich from top to bottom. Like, it's a disaster, culturally, everything about it. Did you have people who were making that even more difficult, who were deliberately making Trump vulnerable on the off chance that maybe someone would go solve their problems for them? So that's my number two. My number three kind of scenario is it encompasses all of number two, but you kind of have two different hands of government. You've got the Secret Service hand, which is just totally incompetent, making them completely vulnerable. But unbeknownst to that hand, you have this other hand, like I would call it like the Russiagate hoax hand. These people who are just always doing awful, evil things.
The John Brennan hand.
Yeah. Was there somebody there looking for super disturbed, impressionable young men to kind of poke with the stick? Like, you know, Trump's in Butler. You should go check that out. So you have the incompetent hand and then the devious hand. So that to me is option three. And they weren't working with each other, but they were creating the conditions to allow that what happened to happen. And then I think the fourth one is the government just killed him. It's like those are, I kind of look at everything through those lenses and try to figure out, can we disprove this one? What fits here? And like where I am now, I'm like kind of between 2 and 3. I refuse to believe this was just a series of unfortunate accidents and incompetences put together. It's just not. I just don't believe it because I've been alive for the last, you know, 10 years watching everything they do.
Yes.
And yet at St. Helena, I don't think there's evidence for like the JFK style. Like we all know Lee Harvey Oswald didn't do it, right?
Of course.
It's absurd. So I don't think there's any evidence, or at least I've not seen any, to suggest that was replicated here. So I think it's somewhere in between deliberate incompetence to make him vulnerable, and then you had some cell somewhere finding someone to urge to go do it in ways that would make it very hard to trace.
Okay.
And we discussed that, you know.
Yeah.
We've talked about that they found Crooks. He was a young, impressionable nerd. Nobody ever paid any attention to him. And he looked up to certain people, and I think certain people assured him that he could do this and walk away that day because they were in charge of security. And there's just so much falls into play there.
Right.
You know, and everything that we looked at, we could apply that scenario to. He was a young, impressionable kid that they used, and he took a bullet in the face for his trouble.
Yes, yes. And the bullet
and the
that
network
he took
is
was,
still out there.
Yes, yes. Now,
that's the part that would scare me. The guy down at Mar-a-Lago, that was one thing. That was almost bizarre. The whole thing. Yeah, like it was for show. But what happened in Butler was far more complex than a lot of people know about.
Exactly. And by the way, the one that happened at the Trump International in West Palm, you've got to believe, okay, a Secret Service agent standing 5 feet away from Ryan Ruth, who was in the bushes, granted, fired 6 shots from 5 feet away.
And missed.
And missed every single shot.
My wife would hit him. My daughter would have queued him up the first time.
My goodness. I mean, you could explain that to me.
I don't understand that. Even with a sidearm, I'm good for several yards. I'm serious. And if a life depended on it,
right.
I'm you know what? You give me a 45, and I'll hit you 50 yards. I promise you.
Well,
promise.
It's difficult to comprehend with respect to all of. I mean, Florida is a little bit different than Butler. Butler was in the planning, I think, for quite some time, and we were able to get the geofencing from Butler, and we could tell the network that still exists there. Even today. Eric Detect, do you have the after action?
Did you send it?
I sent it, yeah. Okay. All right. This meanwhile, while Eric's looking for that, you don't have to cue that up yet. Cut B from the same interview. Folks in cut C, you really need to listen to these observations. Cut B is 4 minutes long, and cut C is like 3 minutes long, but it delves into certain aspects of Butler, which you may or may not have heard. And he's the only one I've heard really showcase the role of a leak to the mainstream media. And why this is important is because, don't forget, we had a photographer in the audience, and this was the first, by the way, this was the first first rally. I think CNN or one of the other broadcasting outlets ran in full as opposed to cutting to Okay, so they, plus a photographer who had a camera set to an insanely fast setting. It makes you wonder if they knew something was coming and they were trying to document it in high speed. Okay, anyway. If Eric the Tech, I know you're, if you can go to cut two or cut B of video five, this is Sean Davis and Tucker Carlson. It's a little bit more information, perhaps you may or may not have known. Go ahead, run it when you can.
Footage.org/Tucker. Wow, that's so of the eight shots, like where did they go, those eight shots?
I think they were only able to find actual bullet fragments from two. So there were actually, there were 10 shots fired total. There were eight from Crooks. There was one from a local law enforcement officer who shot almost simultaneously with Crooks' eighth shot. So you have one, two, three, you had a burst of three, then you had a burst of five. And then the five, like, all went high. One of them hit a hydraulic line on one of those, like, telehandlers or lulls or cranes behind it, so it starts spewing hydraulic fluid everywhere, and you see it drop all of a sudden after the hydraulic line gets punctured, if you watch the video again. So I think that was from that second group. So it was three and then five. As Crooks fired his eighth shot, a local officer fires his gun at Crooks. He swears he got him. There's no like forensic medical evidence that he did, but there's no firing from Crooks after that point, after that eighth shot. And then 15 seconds later comes the shot that kills Crooks.
No way.
15 seconds.
Okay, pause that for a second. Randy Taylor, 15 seconds. That's an eternity. Mm-hmm. Folks, think about that. Should we? Well, we don't have to make the case by not talking for 15 seconds. But I'm going to tell you, that's an eternity. Mm-hmm. So think about that. A burst of three, five more shots. So that's eight. One shot, allegedly, from a local law enforcement officer. Ostensibly, perhaps disables the gun by hitting the stock or the barrel. Or either one. And then the lethal shot that took him out. Right? Is that your understanding, RT?
Yeah, something like that. I know we have video, we've seen video of a guy in camouflage down by the fence who actually takes a shot.
Was that with the sidearm?
No, that was with a rifle.
Okay. Down by the AGR fence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Which we'll show you photograph.
Or, by the locked gate.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, there could have been simultaneous shots.
Yeah, it took forever just to establish that there were, you know, the shots, the number of shots they said there were. I don't remember. It started out as three, then it was seven, and then that bounced all over for how long.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Go ahead and continue that. But folks, think about that. 15 seconds between shot eight and shot nine is a flippin' eternity in a gunfight. I mean, let that sink in. Go ahead and continue this.
And the reason that happened was because nobody had eyes on the roof. So you had your sniper.
15 seconds?
Yep.
So that's an entire magazine worth of... I mean, you could fire
easy. With an AR, you could easily unload a mag.
Wow, that is crazy town.
Yeah, so you have the sniper who's on the roof who takes the shot. He's been watching. So, like, if you are Crooks, if you're where the shooter is, and I'm where Trump is... The guy who shot him is looking here and all the way over here the whole time. He's looking to his left and back around.
Yes.
So he hears the shots. He has to get up, orient himself to where the shots are coming from, where if he's got like earmuffs on or ear protection on, that can be kind of hard to do because those play tricks with locating sound.
Yeah, it's impossible.
So he's got to locate the guy where the shots are coming from, has to make identification of the guy who's got the gun, and then has to fire at him. So, like, I don't even blame that guy, because he was told to watch this sector. He's watching it. But yeah, 15 seconds, and he fires so one shot.
Who is okay with a 308?
300 Win Mag.
Wow,
that's a big boy gun.
That's a scary gun.
So it's 300 Win Mag.
Really? Is that what they use?
Yeah, Black Hills ammunition. So the cartridge was Black Hills. Yeah. It was a 210 grain hollow point.
Oh my god!
Tip on it. So
that ends the conversation. So that, for people who don't shoot, that's so much larger than the 223 or 556 round that Crooks is shooting. I mean, it's just
and the cartridge is huge.
Yeah, it's like $4 a cartridge.
I mean, it's like it's a big. That's a big boy cartridge, and when you fire a 300 Win Mag, like, you feel that, you get fatigued pretty quick.
I had someone come to my range, just at my house, and with his grandfather's 300 Win Mag, we were just shooting on Sunday afternoon, and he just charges the thing, and I was like, man, no more of that. That's too loud. I can't deal with it.
It's so loud.
It shakes my molars.
Yeah. You go to a range where someone's shooting, like, 300 or up, and you're like,
it's impolite.
I don't know. Put a suppressor on
it. I totally agree. Yeah. Wow, that's...
Yeah, and 210 grain, that's a big...
Yes.
That's a big bullet.
Yes.
And so I think he hits him from 155 yards. And it hit him in the lip, goes through the face, out the neck, but then back into his back. And they recovered a fragment of the mushroomed bullet from Crooks' body.
Well, he didn't suffer. Not with the 210 grain from a 300 Win Mag.
Yeah.
So... Kid never knew it hit him. In fact, I'm surprised that he didn't have bloody underwear because it went in his mouth and came out his ass.
Well, we do have the photographs from the roof, unredacted. And I don't know how many. I'm sure, folks, you saw those. Obviously, it was a mouth-to-neck shot. And... without getting too graphic, I looked over from a blood spatter analysis perspective. Okay. I didn't see anything with respect to blood spatter that caused me concern that didn't happen. Okay. So when you're lying prone, you stick your head up, and he stuck his head up, and he took a 210 grain to the mouth. Let me tell you something. It's going to leave a mark. Okay. And the blood, I don't want to get too graphic, but there's nothing within the blood spatter on the roof that tells me that didn't happen the way that man just said it happened.
If you've ever been trained in a hostage situation and how to handle the shooter and the person holding the hostage, they teach you to shoot them in the mouth.
Yeah. Because that does sever the brainstem.
It does. It's just, they can't even pull a trigger.
Right.
They just drop dead.
Yep. Yep.
However, though, if he was shot in like the nose or eye area, his head would have just split apart.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
Disintegrated almost.
Yeah, it would have been like a melon.
But you also have cadaveric spasms too that are possible, unless you're lucky enough to sever the brainstem first. But without getting too graphic, so I guess the point I'm trying to make, or we're trying to make in laying this out for you, is this was not done. This whole setup of the failures, like he initially talked about, of the Secret Service, and they were all failures of federal law enforcement, 12. And you toss in a shooter, again, 1 in 1 septillion chance of it happening by chance. I've said that before. It's been published before, but the bottom line is the people, you cannot be this stupid and lucky. Okay, so... And
And how did they? Yeah, and how did the kid know the one flaw in security?
Because he had five flipping hours on site and 20 minutes of drone operation. And by the way, okay, the drone, the U.S. Secret Service anti-drone drone, the reason that didn't work was for the because he had a bad Ethernet cable, and he was on customer service 800 line for like an hour trying to get the Secret Service agent was trying to get the drone up. So he had to call the 1-800 customer service line for the drone company. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Cheadle shouldn't have just been fired. She should have, never mind. And Roe too. Roe should be out on his ass, as well as a Pittsburgh sack. Yep. Or the, not sack, but the Pittsburgh Secret Service director, or head of Secret Service in Pittsburgh. Got one more cut for you to wrap this up, because this last cut, I think, will tell you. We'll give you more information about this weekend and about what to watch for. Here's cut C. And again, all of this will be at HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
She was punished immediately, but like attempted murder's not.
Well, you're asking who's Thomas Crooks. We know more about Joe the plumber. You remember Joe the plumber?
Very well. He died, unfortunately.
He did.
I knew him. Yeah.
He asked a question about taxes to Obama, like in a rope line.
Yeah.
They gave that dude like the media digital colonoscopy within like 5 minutes. We know more about a guy who asked Obama a question about taxes than we do about a guy who shot Trump in the head.
Well, of course, the media really are a player in all this. They're not just like dupes. They're not just, you know, the PR office for the regime. They are like players are active participants in, you know, totalitarianism, I would say.
Do you know how Crooks' father found out his son was the shooter?
No.
CNN called him.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about kind of like weird, creepy media stuff.
Yeah.
So there's no ID on Thomas Crooks. They get to the body. He's dead. They don't know who he is. The only thing they have is a serial number on his rifle. So they call up ATF and they do what's called an urgent trace to figure out where was this gun bought. And I think it takes him, Dettelbach, the ATF director, says it took him 30 minutes. I think it took like 2 hours. But they know by around like 8:30, definitely by 9-ish, that the dad bought the gun and where he bought it from. And it was from a retailer that had since been closed. They put together a report, like a pretty narrow distribution of people. I think it went to Pennsylvania State Police so local police could go stake the place out. Went to FBI. ATF had it, but it's a very, very small distribution. And we know because we got the testimony from the guy who sent it out. ATF and a couple cops are sent to go do a stakeout on Crooks' father's house. So they get there, we'll call it like 10 or 10:30. At that point, they're already seeing cars slowly drive by in ways that obviously they don't live on that street. And I think 10:56, they get a word from a dispatcher that Crooks' father has called 911 to report his son missing. At that point, they're no longer doing a stakeout. They have to go confront him because obviously he knows something. They go up to his door. He meets them out there and he says, "Is it true? Was it my son?" And they ask him, "Why would you say that?" He said, "CNN called me and told me." He got two calls from CNN and a call from an NBC producer.
How that does not make sense at all. How could that happen?
Somebody leaked it.
But how would someone know who he was?
They had it from the ATF report that had the trace of the serial number. So somebody, the ATF report, somebody had that and decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call CNN and NBC. They don't know who did it.
But it's interesting that they would know it was the son because it was the father on the ATF record. He's the one who purchased the rifle.
Right.
So, but somehow CNN and NBC knew that it was not the father but the son.
Well, because at that point, did we know the age of the person?
I don't think we knew anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, CNN called me and told me. And when I found that out, by the way, I'm still angry about the whole Roger Stone raid.
I am just thinking that exact thing. That's so funny.
CNN happened to be there that morning. right before the cops got
liars.
There. They are liars. Mm-hmm. They are liars. They absolutely had it leaked to them.
Oh, I know.
And so I saw that, and it just instantly reminded me of the Roger Stone thing, and then made me angry again.
I was just thinking that to be active participants in the repression of a population by its government is like pretty, it's like capo behavior. It's like really, really dark.
CNN is evil. And that's who they really need to be watching around President Trump this weekend. Because I'll tell you right now, and it sounds crazy, but you can have a camera be a weapon.
Yeah, that's
nobody,
true.
And nobody would question it. And
yep.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't allow CNN in the damn building.
I would take
anything they brought in, any equipment they brought in, every news, I would tear it apart. I'm not talking casual look at it. I would take stuff apart.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's going to attempt to kill President Trump this weekend. And we know that CNN is a surrogate of Central Intelligence Agency. Anybody that says that, it says it's not, is an idiot. We got problems here.
Many, many, many problems. And that's why I played this, because when you've got a hostile media like CNN and NBC, ABC, CBS, whatever it might be, and you've got people on the ground knowing you cannot, they knew something was going to happen.
Yes. They were given a tip. By the Central Intelligence Agency that something was going to happen at Pollard.
And the revolving door between the intelligence community and the various, like MSNBC and CNN, is, well, you, folks, you've seen it. So understand, these are, to me, these are things that we should be watching for this weekend. Watch what the news media does. And if there's too much of something there, you know, be really, pay very close attention.
And John Brennan's been way too quiet.
That's very true. Of course, John Brennan is yesterday's news, but still.
Yeah, but he's so anti-Trump, though, that they would be talking to him and interviewing him and everything else. There's silence.
Right.
I'm telling you. This is something stinks to high heaven, Doug. And it's got. It's a problem.
Yeah, it definitely is. Eric the Tech, if you've got, I know we're running out of time here. If you've got the unredacted after action, do you have it? Eric the Tech? Oh, there it is. Yeah, don't show that. Go to, if you can take that down, go to page seven. Don't show anything in between. I'm not so sure how much, when I say unredacted, I don't want. Just go to page 7 if that's possible. 7 of 23. It's the one with the positions and red line and orange line and line of sight. There it is, right there. All right, folks, I don't know if you can see this. Let me ask the chat, have you seen this published anywhere? If you have, not a problem. If you haven't, let me know. Just yes or no in the chat. I mean, just so I kind of know, you know, what to expect. Have anyone in the chat? Yes, no. Have you seen it published anywhere? Kind of waiting for a response. No, no, yes, no, yes, no. All right. Well, we'll just work with it as if this was published. Okay. So, folks, take a look at this after action report photograph, picture, drawing, overlay. If you look at the Let me see here. If you look at the top, well, this shows you all of the positions of all sniper, whether it's Butler County or whether it's the Secret Service. It shows you the crowd screening area, the HSI officer. I mean, it shows you all of the positions of law enforcement. And it shows you in the middle on the right, the blue area is the stage. Now, Randy Taylor, myself, Eric the Tech, and by the way, Eric the Tech was on top of the buildings where the snipers were. So you take a look at the BCESU sniper and the Butler County sniper. Okay, that's the AGR building right there. The building more towards the bottom is where this is where Crooks was. Okay, if you look at right underneath the words Butler County Sniper, under that black box with the white lettering, you'll see like a building with, I don't know, across the middle, there's like a lip. The sniper, Crooks, was just to the right of the middle, behind that lip. That's where Crooks was. Now go out a little bit further, and you'll see the AGR glass chain fence. Now follow that line, not the red line, but the imaginary line that's not there, from the kind of the right part of the white building. Okay, go maybe, I don't know, one quarter of the way left from the furthest part of the building on the right. So
where it says CO.
Yeah, or even S.
That's about it. Where it says CO.
Yeah, CO roughly. Okay. Now follow
I'll go with the O next to CO.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Now follow that line. Just imagine a straight line between there and the USS or Secret Service Hercules sniper team on the, it would be the north building. You think they got a shot? Hell no. Why? Get trees in the way.
Yeah.
The same with the south team. You got really a tree or trees, foliage in the way. And then where the Butler County sniper teams were, shouldn't you head overwatch?
And if you're back behind, if you see the videos where you're behind Trump's left shoulder and you can see Crooks doing his little up and down stuff, you'll notice there's a tree right there.
Yes.
It's like tree, Crooks.
And do you know
that
how
tree
long?
Tree would be obstructing those snipers in the yellow circle.
Correct.
Yellow dot.
In the yellow. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And Crooks was on that roof for a total of 6 minutes before the first shot was fired.
That's probably why they didn't see him, because people have been asking, why didn't the sniper team see him? Why didn't the sniper, there's a tree there.
Right.
Trump probably saw him, but the sniper team wouldn't have seen him.
Exactly. All right. Now, if you scroll down to the next, by the way, while you're on that one, that fence line, I don't hear too many people talking about the red truck guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right around, it was probably a half hour to 45 minutes. I didn't bring my notes with me, but there was a man with an AGR cap driving a red truck that pulled into the AGR parking lot, walked out, and there were people standing on the north side, if up was north, on the north side of the chain link fence.
On AGR property.
On AGR property. Okay, now they were gathered there, and it's interesting because the red truck guy was extremely agitated that people were around that building.
Ball mouth. Yeah.
Oh, man. And he came, not only did he kick everyone out and threaten them with arrest, he went back to his truck, appeared to grab what was grab a weapon, and then go back to that crowd, which obviously dispersed. Have we heard anything more about that? Who was that man?
No one ever said, Doug.
Mm. Just asking. And let me see if I got this. All right, these pictures aren't that bad. This is I'm just trying to be very gentle with the audience. Okay. I'll tell you what, rather than show what I was going to show, go to, if you, Eric the Tech, if you can go just to page 20. Here's another thing that not a lot of people know. And this is page 20. And this is a photograph of A, Crooks' cell phone, and B, the remote detonator for the two bombs that were in Crooks' vehicle. There's a problem there. There's a big problem there. You see that garage door opener remote, universal remote? That was on the same frequency as the two bombs in Crooks's trunk. The problem, however, were the two bombs. They were in their off position. The receivers were turned off. So he could have been pressing buttons all day long. Nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
Might have changed the neighbor's television station, or, but that's it. Derek the Tech, your thoughts on the next image? Don't show it. Just your thoughts on it. Yes or no?
I mean, we've all seen it.
Have we?
Yeah, it's was this
published?
We're running out of time here.
Yes, this is public.
All right, go ahead and show the next image. This is Thomas Crooks on the roof. You can see. Okay, so obviously he was lying both prone and supine, and he was turned over. You can see the damage done and the transfer stains from his hair. The blood spatter, of course, is
consistent. And the front teeth gone.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So enough of that. All right. But here's why, and I'm going to give the last 3 minutes to you. Here's why this is important, is because the network that, and we could show you another 700 pages, the network that's out there, you said it, RT, it's still operational.
Yep. And their mission has not been accomplished.
And there it is. This is why
and if they accepted money, they have to complete it.
Yeah. And this is why we must get to the bottom of Butler.
Yeah. Because until we get to the bottom of that, President Trump's life is in danger from that network. It's scary when you think about it. It's scary is how fast the media forgot about it. The investigations. It's like nobody cared. It's like nobody cared. There was more concern with George Floyd's death than there was with the attempt on President Trump.
That's a great point.
Stop and think about that. I want you to stop and think about that. That's horrible. And that's, the media's in on that too. CNN is in this up to their eyeballs. I'm
1 minute.
All right.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of prayer. We need prayer this weekend. A lot of prayer. Lives are in danger.
It hurts me to think about how far our country has fallen. And folks, Randy Taylor and I'm sure we can put together a really great presentation for you about this and other things in the coming days.
Yeah.
It needs to be told. The story needs to be told. So